Hola amigos, ¿cómo estás?
Así, así. That's right, I know Spanish.
¿Dónde está tu madre?
Mucho.
It's Mother's Day and Jay doesn't know Spanish as well as he thinks he does.
I don't know
Welcome
Spanish
to the
at
B
all.
Show, a wrestling podcast.
Yep. Fancy Jay and
the Hood Rat.
Dixon. Yeah, I took 6 years of Spanish in a 4-year program, so yeah, I'm not that great at it. Dude, why do you start the show if you're going to be guzzling like 18?
I'm sorry. I have like this weird, it's not like a cold, but like halfway up my esophagus, it feels like there's like a pound of mucus. And it just hits me randomly, and if I don't take a drink, like I cough uncontrollably for like 30 seconds. I figured it'd be better to start with a little guzzle than a whole lot of hacking.
So you just wash it down, and then it works itself back up.
A little bit,
So why don't you just cough it out and just get it out?
I don't know. Because the coughing hurts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe if you get it out, though, it's done.
Get it out.
So happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
All you mothers.
All the mothers that are listening, or all the dudes that are listening. Go hug your wife. Go hug your mom, your stepmom, your grandma.
Stacy's
mom. Step-grandma. Stacy's mom.
She's got it going on.
She does. I had some Stacy moms. Your baby. Your baby mama. Side piece. Just go, you know, just go say happy Mother's Day to all of them.
Dirty.
What are you doing for Mother's Day?
Honestly, not a whole lot. It's been a long week, and my wife has to work today. So we're going to take my mother out to dinner tomorrow night. And when my wife gets out of work today, we're going to make dinner for her mother at our house.
Nice. Oh, you're doing something then.
It's easy. It's nothing too major. You know,
seems like the standard, though. Take out
about
dinner.
90 hours last week. So
cook? Yeah, you were on stage last night, right?
Yeah, we played.
How'd it go?
It was good.
How was the show?
One of the better Dome shows in a while. Maddie Dale Music Collective released their new CD. It's awesome. They were great. Best live show I've seen them play in a year and a half.
Nice. What kind of music they
like
play?
Hard
rock? I wouldn't like it.
Mm-mm.
Why? It's like kill your mom and eat your cat music?
No. It's eclectic. It's different. It's a wild, imaginative ride through four young men's minds who happen to play exotic, alternative dance music.
Why wouldn't I like that?
I don't know. You're
like
old.
What would you compare it to? Like Euro,
kind of like
indie
Alt-J pop. J meets Alt J meets Fences meets like 70s protest music.
Yeah, I don't know any of that. What you just said. Cool, that's awesome.
They're good dudes. But Townhouse Warrior was also awesome. Matthew Blake and the Blues Dragons, and then we had our 2017 JCC Battle of the Bands Award winners posted play as well.
Ah, nice. How'd they do?
They're all right, man.
Yeah.
For
kids, right?
Yeah, you could tell that the nerves got the best of them a little bit last night because it was their first big gig on like a real stage with real production. But you know, they got through it, and by song three, they were fine.
Yeah, they were in it. That's good. How long did they play for?
A half hour.
That's awesome. How many people showed up?
Just about 200.
That's not bad.
It's really good.
Yeah. Not bad.
For five local bands.
Bad. One of them being a high school band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with it being like, isn't it all over in your neck of the woods, central New York, all graduation weekend?
Graduation weekend.
For every college, right?
Not all of them.
I know SU's got their graduation weekend.
Syracuse University.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So how else was your week? Good?
Long.
Yeah.
Very, very long.
Well, you know what you should do for your mom or for your mother-in-law? You should, when you go home today, you should go to Amazon.com and you should download the free new ebook that just debuted today. Did you hear about this ebook?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This ebook is something specifically for mothers, for Mother's Day. KFC. Yes, KFC. The Tasty Fried Chicken, announced they released a romance novella, Tender Wings of Desire, for Mother's Day, as a free ebook, and to go along with it, you get like a $20 bucket of chicken. But see, here's the story. It's set in Victorian England. The novella follows rebellious Lady Madeline Parker, who finally feels like she's in control of her life after running away from Parker Manor and a loveless marriage, when she finds herself swept into the arms of Harland, a handsome sailor with a mysterious past. She realizes she cannot control how she feels. Madeline must choose between a life of order and a man of passion. And this man of passion is Colonel fucking Sanders.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. It's hot, right?
No.
You totally want to read that to your mom.
No, I don't.
Or mother-in-law.
Nope.
Or just give it to her, because who knows what she's going to do, because it's called Tender Wings of Desire. You don't want to be in the same room when the wings of desire start flapping. Caw-caw!
I question your taste on everything in life on a pretty regular basis.
How awesome is this? It is the dumbest, greatest thing I've heard all week. KFC releasing a romance novel? Novella? Sorry. And on the cover of it is a young Colonel Sanders holding a woman in his arms on the beach.
I gotta be honest, man. When they started that the new marketing campaign where they swapped out Colonel Sanders like every month, it was cute at first. And now it's to a point where I want to burn every one of their fucking restaurants down. It's so fucking annoying.
I will say this. It makes me pay attention to the commercial for the first 10 seconds just to see if I can see who it is. And then I'm like, oh, okay, they got Norm MacDonald. Oh, okay, they got this guy. And then I, fast forward or put my attention to something
else. And
that
one was just like super racist.
Which one was that?
The, can I be an extra crispy boy? Like, if you really look at that commercial and the way
it's
shot.
I don't know that one. Who was Colonel Sanders then?
Michael Douglas, I think.
Michael Douglas did one?
Yeah.
Did not know that. See? It gets you to talk. That's all it's about. There's no...
Let's just face facts. Their food sucks.
You know, I used to be a big KFC fan. Unfortunately, I can't eat it anymore. I did dabble into it, I'd say about 6 months ago. I had a piece, and I was insanely, insanely disappointed with it. It had, like, no flavor to it.
Nothing. I don't know.
And I got the extra crispy. The best fried chicken, though, if you're going to go, from one of those spots, is one of those chains, is Bojangles down in the south.
Bojangles is solid.
It got a little kick to it, but not enough kick where my pussy stomach can't take it. Yeah, I dig Bojangles.
I like grocery store fried chicken, if we're being honest.
It's not bad. Yeah. But it's not good cold.
No, well, you got to eat it.
You got to eat it right there.
Like, you can let it go to room temperature and sit for a couple hours, and it's still good, but once it hits the fridge, it's gross.
It's gross. But Bojangles and some of those, like, that stuff is, I love it cold rather than hot.
Dude, I'll tell you, the best fried chicken I ever had was in South Carolina at a weird lunch barbecue buffet called JB's Smoke Shack.
JB's Smoke
Just outside of Charleston, South Carolina, as you go out and look at the giant oak tree. I've never had fried chicken like this before in my
entire
life.
What was so great about it?
Well, they swore me to secrecy, but I don't feel like anybody in South Carolina is listening to this podcast.
Oh, I know. There's some people out there.
But not...
Shout out to B.
Not that are going to blow me into JB.
No,
So it's like a three-stage process. So it gets soaked in pickle juice for 24 hours.
You do have a thing for pickle juice.
I do. And then it gets soaked in buttermilk that is spiked with cayenne pepper for another 24 hours.
Oh, F that. That shit's too spicy for
me. No, it's not. You don't get... All you get is the fruitiness of the cayenne. There's no heat in this except for black pepper.
Okay.
And then so now it's been brined in pickle juice, marinated and tenderized, excuse me, in buttermilk. And then they just use a real simple dredge of flour, seasoned salt, and black pepper, and then they deep fry it in peanut oil. The key to it is
peanut oil.
Yeah,
that's different right there.
No, it's actually a staple in the South, believe it or not.
No, I'm saying from the chains that we're talking about.
This isn't a chain though.
Yeah. That's
But they do a really good job of keeping all the pieces the same size. So what they do is they cut the breasts on the bone in half, so that they don't overcook. So, like, every piece is juicy and delicious. It's the same size. They can just batch fry everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Did you have any cold?
No.
Did you, like, take any with you?
It was a buffet. You're not allowed. I wasn't going to
put
shit in my pockets.
I used to do that back in the day.
I know.
Back when I was in high school and Ponderosa was, like, the thing, and it was all-you-could-eat buffet, I would go there with my boys, after school or after a game, and I would I was addicted to the chicken wings, like the breaded chicken wings. That's all I wanted to eat. So I would unroll napkins and put like three of them in because all the oil would just like freaking stick right through it, and then I would just pile them in, and then I'd stick it in my coat pocket, or if I brought in a bag or whatever because I was carrying it, yeah. I'd take it home, and then I had some chicken wings at night. What's that?
She just brought a Ziploc, bro.
Well, at that point, man, Ziploc bags weren't big back then.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, like, I didn't come up in a rich family. I couldn't just bring a random Ziploc bag. I didn't know.
Yeah, because they're made of, like, sterling silver, and they're so expensive.
Dude, yeah.
Dude, I raised myself from the age of 8. I always had Ziploc bags in the house.
I mean, I'm sure we did, but I didn't carry around a Ziploc bag with me. It's not like
I knew you're going to Ponderosa, you take the fucking Ziploc, bro.
Yes, if I was leaving
Why
from my house.
Why are you arguing with me? This is the dumbest thing we've ever argued about on the podcast. Stop it.
Technically, it's not. You beating up wildlife could be up there. No, I'm saying is like we would say like, hey, where do you want to go? Let's grab something to eat. Ponderosa. It wasn't like, hey,
cool, let's swing into the dollar store quick and grab a box of fucking Ziploc bags.
I was thinking about that. Why would I waste money on that? I got the napkins, boom, put it right there, went right home, and then I put it in a Ziploc bag. Or I put it in a container. Either way, I got
some
fucking chicken wings, man.
You could steal more from the buffet if you brought a Ziploc bag.
Nah, because you only can fit a certain amount.
Like, you can't just fit a certain amount in your napkins?
You just add more napkins to it so it gets bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, you got, like, 50 chicken wings all up in, like...
I guarantee you, I know you because you're kind of a fucking pussy. I guarantee you never took more than 8 wings.
Oh, that's not true. I would take... That's 100% not true. I would take it all... I would take a whole bunch, man. I would even have my friends put it in their pocket for me. Yep. Dude, I was dangerous back in the day, man.
Yeah, okay.
Dangerous. Used to work at a grocery store, and everybody at the grocery store that would work there would pull up and get gas for free, but it wasn't technically free. Yeah, that's right. I did that. When gas was 88 cents a gallon. What?
You're dating yourself, bro.
You date me every week. I'm a gangster.
Yeah.
Yep. Gangster, man. I get chicken wings and gas. What?
That's what happens with most people.
Yeah. What now? So I came across this article that I thought was kind of funny because I would like you to kind of decide who you are and who I am. Okay? So is that your phone? I hear it. It goes beep, beep, beep.
What the fuck that? There's like weird alien technology in the studio today.
So there's this thing called the Fuckboy Index, documenting the 6 types of fuckboys you'll meet in 2017. Okay? So I want you to decide who you are out of these and who I am. Okay?
Sure.
So number 1, don't hear them all out first, okay? Number 1, the cuck boy, cuck, C-U-C-K boy.
It's cuck, short for cuckold.
Yeah. This is a guy who is an actual feminist, but, fights for all the causes and says men suck, blah, 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 blah. This is what he would text to you. Can you believe this? Asshole. Link to an article about Donald Trump and reproductive rights from 3 weeks ago. What he listens to? I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Bikini Kill. Le Tigre, Hole, Bratmobile, woke podcasts, and anything he can find by Googling Riot Girl. Famous examples? I don't know that guy. Natural Habitat, taking a boomerang video with you and your gal friends at a women's march in Washington. Okay, so that's the cuck boy. This is the lit boy. All right, the lit boy reveals he is more intellectually superior to you, even if he's misled in what he knows. What he texts you. Him, a famous quote. You, that's so nice. Did you write that? Him. LOL. No, babe. It's Salinger. He listens to Inaldi? You know that thing? While staring out the window like he's in a music video biography or Bob Dylan, 60s rock. His natural habitat is coffee shops, used bookstores, galleries, any bar where he can be made to look like he's a 1920s speakeasy. Okay, that's the lit boy. This is the out-and-out fuck boy. what he texts you, what trouble are you getting into tonight. He's constantly on his phone, constantly tanned. He sends you gym selfies and screenshots all your Snapchat hours after getting them because he just saw this. Sure. What he listens to, literally just EDM, or he might like some Chainsmokers songs. Famous examples, the guys in the Chainsmokers. Natural Habitat, the gym, the club, your inbox at 3 a.m. That's the out-and-out fuckboy. This is the soft boy. He owns a lot of cardigans, wears obnoxious headphones, playing acoustic indie really loudly on the subway, calls sex making love, and texts you good morning and good night religiously until you finally show some actual interest and commitment, at which point he ditches you quicker than you can say. Most people really misinterpret the true meaning of 500 days of summer. He'll spin it in the way that it's your fault and you hurt him, you bitch. What he texts you, that guy sounds like a dick. I'll never hurt you like that, but he will. What he listens to, The Smiths, Death Cab, Modest Mouse, Keaton Henson. Famous example, Joseph Gordon-Levitt in 500 Days of Summer, Seth from The O.C., Natural Habitat, The Dog Park, The Desk Across from You, Tumblr, his favorite bench, blah, 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 blah. That's the soft boy. I feel like this is just only two more. Don't worry. And the bad boy. He channels seriously curated early Pete Doherty come Jagger vibes and always wears the same uniform of combat boots, leather jacket, and a ripped t-shirt. He smokes without inhaling. Eventually, you walk in on him getting with your friend at one of his gigs, and you're like, why am I even surprised? What he texts you, he doesn't have a phone. What he listens to, Body Shambles, The Libertines, The Stones, The Strokes. He once shams, Shazam. He once Shazammed a One Republic song he really liked and hated himself for weeks afterwards. Famous examples, Harry Styles, Heath Ledger, and 10 Things I Hate About You. Natural Habitat, dive bars, gigs, after parties, police holding cells. That's the bad boy. And then the life ruiner. Which, by the way, in all these pictures that they have of the guys, it's all white dudes. And then the life ruiner is a black guy.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Actually, he could be Middle Eastern.
Or Middle Eastern. He is someone
who's definitely brown of some sort.
He definitely has brown skin. That's fucking racist. I didn't even notice that. He's dated a lot and says all of his ex are crazy, so obviously you think you're going to be the one who's different. He's impeccably well-dressed, has a great job, and baffledly just has all of his shit together. You go to dinner parties in a well-dressed, decorated apartment and feel desperately uncool around his friends. What he texts you, I just don't think this is going to work out. What he listens to, the smoothest of jazz. Famous examples, Chuck Bass, John Hamm, and anything. Where you'll find him, bars you can't afford to buy a drink in, restaurants you can't get a reservation at, parties you wouldn't get invited to. That's the life ruiner. Who are you and who would I be?
I'm not any of those.
You're the bad boy.
Nope. Don't listen to punk rock. Don't treat women like shit. I actually have a cell phone.
That's true. I would say you are a mix of the lit boy, the bad boy, and the life ruiner. Say you're trifecta. Back at the old you.
Old me?
The old you. You're married now. So, I mean, like, you can't be. It's not.
No, because, like, here's the thing. Like, and I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, too, is, like, oops. I may have, like, a bad reputation as far as what people think, but none of them actually know the situation. Like, I've never coerced or lied to a girl to get with them. Like, I'm always honest from the get with everybody, you know what I mean? So, like, any girl that has anything negative to say about me reflects on you, not on me. Mm-hmm. Because I told you going in what it was about, and if you caught feelings or got weird or uncomfortable or whatever else afterwards, that's on you, because I was honest the entire time. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
So that takes me right out of fuckboy world, in my opinion.
Okay.
You, on the other hand...
Okay, you'll have more fun digesting all this information.
I mean, I don't really like put you in any of those fucking categories either.
No?
No, like you're more of like the I don't know, kind of like mama's boy.
No.
Germaphobe.
Yes.
Weird.
No.
Fucking
yes.
I don't know. Like, you just, I feel like you were, you'd be like late bloomer fuckboy. You know what I mean? Like,
no. I'll tell you who I was 100% was, now minus the whole music and all that, but 100% the soft boy.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I would totally text, "That guy sounds like a dick. I never would hurt you like that." And then I'd end up not being interested in the person because for whatever reason. I mean, I've had less than.
Are you sure you're not secretly gay, Jay?
Why is that gay? Because I'm.
I don't know, because I feel like you're the kind of dude that would want to hang out with a bunch of fag hags.
What do you mean by fag hags?
Girls that like to hang out with gay dudes and be their cover to like their families and their like close work friends and stuff like that to make them appear to not be gay.
That doesn't exist anymore, man.
No, it does.
No.
Dude,
you're saying the girl doesn't? So the family doesn't know that the girl is gay?
No, so the family doesn't know that the dude is gay.
Yeah, but so you're saying that I hang out with girls
that like to hang out with gay guys.
Gay guys, so that my own family wouldn't know that I was gay.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I feel like you like hanging out with fag hags because you all have a lot in common.
I don't know. I don't think any women consider themselves a fag hag. I think women all love. I think women.
Dude, you never leave the house.
Love gay. What are you talking about? Like, I have so many friends in so many different parts of the world that are in so. I mean, I just have a friend that's going through the transition of being a man to a woman, literally right now. Like, I just don't see. And maybe it's because of where I live and the people I associate with. It's like everything is open, so you don't have to hide.
When's the last time you went out?
I like hang out with everybody. Friday night. Friday night.
It didn't count. It was work-oriented.
No, it wasn't. There was nothing there Friday night. Not your Friday night. Friday night, this Friday. That was a couple weeks ago.
What'd
when
you
I was
do?
In town. Went out with two friends, and went out to a couple bars till about 1:30 in the morning. That's how I roll, baby.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I swear. I swear.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you believe? When have I ever come on here and not told the truth?
Every week.
Every week, really. As you laugh. Now, I would say that my whole thing was, and I would say that some of it, the soft boy side, some of it's sincere. I would say a lot of it's sincere of who I am, but I also would always play the opposite of what I knew every guy was out there was doing.
I feel like
every guy comes
guy.
Hard and wants, and it's all about sex, and it's all about, like, I'm the man and I'm macho. And I would play the other way. I'd be like, you come to me. If you're interested, and you're going to come talk to me. I would always try to say sweet things. I still do.
I feel like you
But it's sincere when I say it. It's not just to get in the pants. Everything I say or do is sincere.
I feel like you're the kind of guy that kissed his mother on the mouth until he was 16 every day before he went to school.
Nope. Not at all. I was the furthest thing from a mama's boy.
I don't believe you.
My mom didn't even come to my wedding, dude. So I think that pretty much says it right there. And my dad got ordained and married me. So I think you can kind of see how that evolution happened when growing up. Manly man, bro.
I don't believe you.
Manly. Any guy who has to say he's a manly man is truly a manly man.
That's not.
Yeah, that's 100% true. No, but I was the guy that totally dug a girl, and then once I got her to like me, or I got some, and I actually thought I dug her, and then, you know, when, okay, so here, we'll go into a little side tangent here. So many women, even today, I have girlfriends that are confused.
So you're saying like side pieces?
Yeah, side pieces. No, I only have one side piece, and you know that's my baby. I have my wife, and I have my baby, and you know that's it. But friends that are girls, they I wonder how many people just you know thought out I can't believe he just admitted that. Yeah. I can't believe he just said that. No, but I want to know how many people, I have a lot of girlfriends out there that are single or, you know, going through a breakup or a divorce or whatever. And they,
and you help them.
No. And they always want to know, like, this guy I was totally into, and, or this guy was totally into me. And then, you know, I don't sleep on the first date and we were hanging out and blah, blah, blah. And then we ended up hooking up or having sex. And now he doesn't talk to me. I'm going to tell you the reason why. This is insight for all women. And any guy, including you, that says this is not true is full of shit. This is the honest to God truth. A guy can genuinely like a woman or a girl. Not be in love, but be like, yeah, I like her. I want to hang out with her.
Vibing.
And as soon as he is done coming, soon as he blows it, there's something in our brain that says, stay and hang out and cuddle, or I like this girl, or... okay, I just got, all right, I got to get out of here. If he is a guy that's got to get out of there, then he's never going to have feelings for you. He might come back because he wants you to like him again and he wants to see if he can get it, some more ass, but he doesn't like you. The true test of a guy if he likes a woman is if he wants to cuddle or hang out with her after he's done. That's the truth for
not
every
always,
man.
Not always. Like, I feel like...
I'm not talking about, like, a one-night stand at a bar. I'm talking about when you're, like, actually hanging out.
I get that, but you're like, making, like, some weird, cliched, like, stupid Hollywood movie fucking version of it.
Well, I mean,
situations are different
based on truth.
Based on... No, man.
They aren't the truth. I'm not saying every guy's this way, but I'm saying a majority. That's how men... That's how our brains...
It's not.
Biologically
it might be how
operated.
Your brain works.
That's not how your brain operated.
No.
So,
for me, I've talked about this on this before, is like, for me, like, hooking up with girls is more about them than it is me. Like, I feel like anytime that any woman offers their body to you, mm-hmm. like, you've got a job to do, and that job is to completely and totally satisfy them. And some women don't want that bullshit fake cuddle afterwards. Sometimes they just want to tell you to get the fuck out so that they can smoke a cigarette and lay there and revel in it. Like, it's not a male-female thing.
But I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not saying that a
woman
wants the guy to stay.
What it boils down to is, like...
saying if you want to stay.
Every situation is... different based on the dynamic between the two people involved, and you can't make sweeping generalizations like that because most of the time it's wrong.
Yes, you are right in the grand scheme of generalizations, but in the grand scheme of men, I didn't say that a woman wants to cuddle. I didn't say that a woman doesn't want to get the guy out. I didn't say that, you know, guys just trying to get off and not care about the women. Those are two totally different subjects, and I agree with you on that. Men should take care of the woman first, and lots of women don't want the guy to hang around after. I'm saying that for a guy's mentality, if he truly likes a woman, likes her.
No, because
then he wants to hang out with
her.
Sometimes
there's fear. Sometimes there's hesitation based on how much you actually like somebody. Like, I think a lot of people just overthink everything, and it becomes this awkward thing. And not, like I said, every situation is different, man. You can't make these sweeping generalizations about guys because then you just become part of the problem. Like all these fucking stupid women on social media, bitch, like fucking, all guys suck and all they want is this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, listen, maybe you need to like fucking up your standards a little bit and maybe not go see the fucking Journey cover band at the fucking townie bar and drink like 16 Coors Lights and then get fucked by some weird meth head. You know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe, you know, you meet a guy somewhere other than the internet or a bar, and maybe then you could stop making these sweeping generalizations about the shitty men you meet because it's your choices and not men in general.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree with you. But that meth head, if he really liked the girl that drank 16 Coors Lights and they bonded over a Journey cover band, if he liked her, he would call her the next day and he would snuggle.
They'll get a nice single wide sometime. They'll pop out like 16 kids that they can't afford and they won't school properly. And, you know, now we've got 18 people that vote for Donald Trump. Yay.
But he liked her because he stayed and cuddled. That's my point.
That's not... Dude, you're out of your fucking mind. We need to take a break.
Well, you got to go pee already?
Well, dude, I just put down like a 32-ounce cubata and 40 ounces of water.
I just saw you do the water. All right, I'll go pee too. Let's maybe go there today.
All right, we're done with the urination. Want to jump into some wrestling?
Close. What's your almost? What's your B-side choice cut?
This week. Man, it's tough. I've encountered some cool stuff this week. As much as I hate to admit it, I'm going to go with America's Best Eyeglasses and Contacts. No, for real, because like my eyes have been bad forever. I got a concussion February 2016, and I really thought that my vision was suffering due to that, but it just turns out that my eyes were bad. And my mother-in-law and my wife both got glasses and encouraged me to go to their eye doctor, and then I realized like my mother-in-law paid like $500 for a pair of glasses, and I was like, I'll just Damn. suck it up. And then when my eyes were bad enough that I couldn't read text messages on my phone and I had to screenshot them and then go to my photos and like...
And enlarge it?
Yeah. That I knew it was time.
And you then, drove?
Yeah.
Scary.
No, it's not. Come on, man.
Well, you can't enlarge a car that's coming near you.
Yeah, but I don't have vision problems like that. I can drive just fine.
Oh,
like,
it's far away you can see, but it's up close?
Well, both actually. But like driving wise, it's fine. Like it's letters more than anything else. You know what I mean? So I went to America's Best because they had a deal for like eye exam and two pair of glasses for $70.
Nice.
And you really can't go wrong. Like they really hook you up. They're quality frames, quality glasses. The eye exam was awkward, but you know.
Why was it awkward?
I don't like people touching my face.
You don't like people touching you. Unless
period.
It's
yeah. Even wife. My close friends. You're very touchy-feely, and I don't care for it.
I love it. I love
feely-veely.
I love giving you a hug.
It bothers me.
Why does it bother you, man?
It makes me feel
I think that's the reason why I do it, is because I give you a little dap.
That's all right. Well, next time you do, you're getting the poison thumb.
Hey. Anything you feel like, love.
You're getting like three hugs a day, bro.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, for real, like, they're a national chain, and I typically like to spend my money with local people, but you really can't go wrong with two pair of glasses and an eye exam for $70.
Hell no. You look good in the black frames, man.
Thanks, fella.
First time ever, right?
First glasses ever, yeah.
First ever?
I've never had glasses before.
Look at that, man. Yeah, you're rocking it.
And oddly, wearing them the last couple of days and at the bar last night because we had to play, like, I had a bunch of people like, wow, you look so much younger with the glasses.
You do look younger.
And I'm like, that's really weird because typically, like, people put on glasses and they look older.
Nah, you look younger. I think it hides maybe some of the wrinkles.
I ain't got no wrinkles, bitch.
On your face. You know,
you got to remember, I was a vampire for 20 years. I never really went out in the sun. I ran bars.
Yeah, so but you like, lived a hard life, man.
I ain't got wrinkles hard like you, life. Bitch.
You're crazy. I ain't got no wrinkles.
Are you kidding me? Look at your face, dude. You have like three permanent wrinkles on your forehead.
Yeah, that's because I've always squinting because I couldn't see, hence wear glasses. But that's not because of the
wrinkles.
Sun. Yeah, and so do you. Old man. Take your head off.
Mine are from scars, dude.
Oh, gosh. I always have an excuse for everything.
I legitimately have two really large scars on my forehead.
Mm-hmm. All right. My B-side choice cut of the week is the fidget spinner.
Oh, fuck you with this.
Woo! I'm spinning a fidget spinner that helps with ADHD and autism in my hand, and it's fun. Look at this. I can do all these cool things with it, and it totally distracts me from being distracted. Yep, fidget spinner, man. It's the new crave of the teenagers that are out there.
It's $8 worth of bullshit.
$2.50 for that one. I guess that people are making spinners for like $500 and they're selling them. They're like diamond encrusted. And I'm like, what? This is the most idiotic thing. Who the hell is going to want to spin something that expensive?
Lil Bow Wow?
yeah, but he put what do they call it, cubic zirconia on it and say it was diamonds. It's actually kind of fun when you spin it. Like, I don't do all the tricks that my son and his peeps do, but there's something like it does stop me from. I'm one of those people that when I sit at a desk, I'm always doing this, shaking my leg, no matter what. And so this kind of stops me from doing that, I've noticed. I just got it on Friday. Yeah, Friday. So now I just. But it's something, it's kind of addictive, man. Not going to lie. I just want to see your reaction to it.
God, I want to stab you so bad right now.
All right. Well, speaking of stabbing, let's get right into some wrestling talk. This is going to be pretty much 99% all ROH, Ring of Honor, because they've had some big stuff happening. Last night they had their pay-per-view War of the Worlds, and so here are some of the highlights. Hangman Page of the Bullet Club beat Frankie Kazarian. Will Ospreay beat Jay White, who's from New Japan. Bully Ray and the Briscoes beat Goto, Rocky Romero, and Beretta, Chaos. Marty Skrull.
Skrull. Newest member of the Bullet Club.
Dude. You're horrible at these news updates. I said I'm going through the card.
Well, you don't give me a fucking sheet.
Because you say you don't need it.
Well, I don't.
Beat Matt Sydal.
Sydal.
The Young Bucks won. Tanahashi beat Adam Bebe Cole, who is a free agent. So here's some cool stuff in case you guys didn't see the pay-per-view. I'll ruin it. Sorry. After the match, Cole remained in the ring while some fans chanted, "Thank you." The Young Bucks then hit the ring and played it up like they were going to finally super kick Cole after weeks of building towards a split. Cole turned around and the Bucks acted like everything was fine and gave him a too sweet signal. Kelly referred to it as them doing their own version of a curtain call. Then the lights went out and we cut to a video of Kenny Omega. He says he was disappointed in the Bucks for standing with Cole after he tried to fire them from the Bullet Club. He tells Adam he's had a long and storied career, but just like all fairy tales there, he has to be a hero and a villain. The camera fades back to reveal the bird mask worn by Marty Skrull. Omega then tells Cole he's officially fired. The lights go back on in the building, and Marty Skrull is in the ring. He reveals an umbrella with a Bullet Club logo. Then the Young Bucks super kick! Adam Cole, Skrull, then reveals a Bullet Club shirt. The villain has now joined Kenny Omega, Cody, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro Takahashi in one of the longest-running stables in pro wrestling today. So a little interesting. Looks like Cole is now officially a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little love. Coming to NXT, he better.
I think he's going to Impact.
Dude, there's no way. There's no way. He can't go to Impact. He's going to NXT. He's the number one free agent this year, bar none.
Yeah.
You don't, like, everybody loves him. Stone Cold just did a podcast with him and just raved about him. He has the knowledge. He's great on the mic.
He's so small and plain. Yeah, but looking. He can be That's an awesome the problem, villain. Man, like...
Hey,
he needs character. I have nothing against his ring work, his ring psychology, but he's very much a background looking guy. If he can somehow differentiate himself and come up with a character that works, then he'll be super successful.
Yeah.
But if he thinks he can walk in and just be Adam Cole with his brown hair and his plain look, not going to happen.
No, he needs a character, and he knows that, and
he does. That's the problem.
No, on this podcast, he said he knows what he needs to do, and he goes, I don't want to go to Raw, SmackDown right off. He goes, I want to go to NXT. I want to go through that. I want to learn. Like, he was all about it. I think he's going to be – I don't know what he'll be on the main roster. Because you just never know with Vince
right. And
where he is going to put.
Look at Joe.
I mean, but also look at Nakamura. I mean, he isn't thrown into the main event right now.
Nakamura is at least in prime TV spots.
Yeah,
like they're teasing it well. They're doing the slow build.
But
what
Nakamura
do that with Joe?
No,
like, Joe lost clean on the last fucking pay per view, and that's not something you do with your destroyer.
Yeah. Do you think Nakamura would be in that situation if he didn't go to NXT first and Vince didn't see the crowd? And
no,
Vince
he'd have been Kenzo Suzuki.
Exactly. So I think people, I mean, it's very rare. You'd have to say AJ is literally the only one who came straight to the roster and made an impact and is now one of the top. Obviously, he is.
Yeah, but
the
it's
top
AJ Styles.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even when the club came straight to the roster, look where they are now. Look where they have been over the last year. I mean, there's.
But to be honest, like, you've got to look at it from the perspective of what does the club really have that nobody else has? And you can't say anything.
No. Yeah.
They're just dudes in matching gear that happen to have. Well, Carl Anderson has a good work rate. I think fucking Luke Gallows sucks, but.
Well, they were part of something, and then when they were by themselves, it's
yeah.
You see that they
don't
have
that. There needs to be a Balor Club, and I think that there needs to be a Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not in name. You obviously can't use Bullet Club. But I think we need to go back to a situation where there are not necessarily like faction wars, but groups of guys.
I agree with you 100%. That was my favorite
time of
wrestling.
They put the Singh brothers with Jinder Mahal makes all the sense in the world.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? They were the Bollywood boys. Yeah. They did really well in the cruiserweight tournament.
Yep.
You know, they've had some success in NXT. But, you know, it's one of those things where it was a perfect situation for them. And now, even when Jinder loses to Randy Orton, because you know Jinder's going to lose to Randy Orton, you now have a small mini faction of a single star and a tag team.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I think it just changes it up. It gives you more options. And, you know, if you put the right guys together, that can be a faction or a stable for years. Or at least for pay-per-view, especially when you have, like, what, 12 a year at least?
Right.
Well, 24 if you count both brands. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I'm super excited for him to hopefully come to NXT. Christopher Daniels retained the ROH World Championship title versus Jay Lethal and Cody of the Bullet Club.
I heard that match was pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. Couple interesting notes that New Japan has created a new championship, the IWGP US Championship. There will be a tournament for the title shortly.
This is actually a recreation. This is a title that existed back in the 70s that they discontinued. I want to say like 77, 78, they stopped using it.
Jay Lethal has already announced he is participating. He's the first one. New Japan will also be running a G1 show in LA on July 1st. They also announced the heavyweight and intercontinental championships will also be defended on that show. Obviously, this is all a big part of New Japan's U.S. expansion plans.
Yeah.
But it's smart. I mean, Southern California, the West Coast, has a huge wrestling following.
And a giant Asian population.
Exactly. And
run San Francisco, you know what I mean?
Yep, and you create your own title for it. And at the end of the day, New Japan has stars. I mean, ROH, here's the thing with Ring of Honor. It's difficult because I feel like Ring of Honor's best pay-per-views and their best matches are when they team up with New Japan. But I actually think New Japan has a chance to be easily the second U.S. wrestling company.
Yeah, not with Sinclair getting bought out. I think that makes Ring of Honor a much bigger deal than...
Well, that's. I'll just jump right into that. So Sinclair made huge news this weekend. I mean, this is a big thing, not only for wrestling, but just, you know, me and being in the entertainment world and everything. So Sinclair Broadcasting, which was already the largest television station ownership in the country. They had about, I want to say like 83 to 84 markets. They had over 79 television stations. And then they also owned other things within those markets. So now
and some of the programming that aired.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I used to work
part for one of those, you know, what would be considered an independent television owner. You're not an NBC, you're not a CBS, you're not an ABC. Sinclair would probably come in like probably fifth, you know what I'm saying? Probably behind Fox.
As far as
size, like revenue?
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, they would have to now. I mean, what's difference between like the Foxes and the NBCs is they get a lot of their revenue from whether it's producing their own stuff, but it's the advertising, and they're also a much they are part of a much bigger conglomerate. Was Sinclair, I used to work for Sinclair, actually worked with Joe Koff personally, and what is weird about them is that they've been trying to buy. So long story short, they bought the Tribune Company,
which is Chicago-based. You know, airs the Cubs games.
They own Now they will own WGN, which is a national television station.
Which, if you were to make like a linear sort of comparison, it would be WGN now is what TBS was 100%. In the 80s.
Yep, it's Turner.
They're the super station on cable.
Yep. Exactly. And they'll own WPIX in New York City. They'll own KTLA in Los Angeles. So these are major markets. And Claire kind of was always in, you know, secondary,
tertiary markets.
Third, fourth style markets. Now they're going to be in three of the biggest markets.
And Miami, too. They got that one.
They got Miami,
Miami station.
Have one. They have Philadelphia. So they're in a whole bunch of places now. They tried to do it a couple of years ago, but the FCC and the government said put a kibosh on it because they thought it would be a monopoly. But for whatever reason, it passed now. They paid like, what, $3.4 billion. Billion dollars. So it's that type of money. So Sinclair obviously has the money. The frustrating part about this is that they have the money and they never really totally invested it into their wrestling. So it's
now,
kind of up in the air.
But
do
here's
they,
the thing. And you've got to look at this from a business perspective, mm-hmm. where if you have a lot of Syracuse's and Syracuse-sized markets – sort of on your docket, like that's what's, you know, driving your business.
Yeah.
Those aren't the markets you want to take an upstart promotion to. You know, now that they have LA, now that they have New York, Miami, Philly, Dallas, mm-hmm. all these giant, Seattle, Chicago, that's when you launch the wrestling company because now you're seeing millions of viewers and you can take a shot with bringing the Ring of Honor roster to Chicago to do a show because you're talking about a city of 8.1 million people?
Yeah. Well, how
as opposed to a community like Syracuse where there's less than 300,000. So you've got a much better opportunity to expose the product to more eyes and then also be successful when you can run a 1,000 cap room in Chicago and know you're going to sell it out. It's the old ECW method.
Yeah. The hardest thing for them is going to be the difference between say WCW on TBS back in the day was there was a history there. They had something, and so they were able to build it. And you had,
but it's also a different
person,
time and period, man.
How Sinclair operates for Ring of Honor and how they'll have to do it with WPIX or WGN or whatever stations they choose is that they make the local stations, they make the local sales team have to specifically sell ROH and get the advertising in there. And that's how it
and they
got to
stop with that fucking knee pain thing with Jay Lethal and all these campy
exactly
dumb things. They've got to get like real deal sponsors.
And if you're
it.
Going to take something off of WGN, you already know what the ad revenue that specific syndicated or live programming is making.
Right.
Same with WPIX. So you have these multiple markets that can run Ring of Honor at different times. TBS was one national station. You ran it at the same
605.
Time. And everybody got it. KTLA to WGN to WPIX could have it in different times. So you have to have different ad revenue. So do they look at it as like, hey, these stations, we already have stuff that's already selling and we can't make more money with Ring of Honor? Or do they say, hey, you know what? Now is our chance to have something of a sports entertainment national that can compete with the USA Network, that we can let's invest some money in it and build it up so those advertisers will come. So it'll be interesting to see how they play because they're a very right-wing Republican company and how they and fiscally how they operate. So it'll be interesting to see if they just say, hey, you know what? No, continue to do what you're doing. We'll put it on at 1 o'clock in the morning on WGN. Or do they try to invest a little bit into it and try to make something that everybody hoped that Sinclair would do for ROH for the last 5 years at least?
I feel like you've got to go back to the, you know, as much as I bitch about WWE being like a PG product, I feel like when wrestling exploded in the 80s, it was because it was on right after cartoons.
Yeah, Saturday mornings.
11 a.m.
Favorite.
You know what I mean? I think they've got to do that, and they've got to roll that out nationally. You've got to program to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to get something that, like, the tweens love and put it on right before wrestling, and then Ring of Honor needs to adapt as well.
I was going to say, they're going to have to change how they have their characters and how they operate.
Well,
a lot of teenagers are going to look at that and be like,
they're going to have to, they're going to have to either go
or kids
very athletic and MMA themed to grab the adult watcher.
Yep.
Or you're going to have to go to a character based thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only way to really make a Saturday more. And I agree with that. To really make the Saturday morning
and the
morning
production
style.
Value needs to be increased tremendously.
Exactly. Like you can't
be in a dark arena.
Yeah, and you can't have all these weird, crazy ass they're not, I wouldn't even say they're characters. They seem like they're just crazy ass people. Like as, me as an adult and know wrestling is, you know, fake or, you know,
predetermined, sir.
Predetermined. Predetermined. Yes. Thank you. It's a better word. Like I know what it is, but I'm not, if I was 12 or 13, I'm not, I don't know if I would.
There's nothing
there
on
watch.
Ring of Honor that's going to catch me.
No,
because
it's all
a bunch of dudes in their underwear doing very technical wrestling things.
They have no personality. There's no bad guy, good guy. There's none of that stuff. Like, there's no, and that's what captivated the kids back in the 80s, whether you liked it or not.
Well, it's because you had these larger than life characters, and then you had like fun characters. I mean, you can even look at the advent of WCW Nitro. And as much as I don't care for Eric Bischoff because of how much his ego kind of ruined him, his ideas at the very beginning were very good. You had Hogan, Savage, and the WWF retreads at the top. You had this amazing set of character-based guys. And then you had these the flippy guys. You had the cruiserweight division. You know, so like he took a little bit and borrowed from everything that was ever popular.
You had
in wrestling.
An announced team that you kind of remember. Right. You had Mean Gene. So it kind of, even though, yeah, it might be considered WWE Junior or knockoff, it at least got you to want
but
to
But there
see
were a lot
it.
Of things that they programmed around those retreads from
that
WWF that, that really differentiated themselves from WWF at the time.
Absolutely. And at that time, you know, WWF was straight super campy and people were getting
It was two character based.
Yeah.
I mean, when you had Henry O. Godwin, you know what I mean? And like all this other bullshit that they were doing, it was refreshing to see, you know what I mean? Like Lex Luger show up on the first night of WCW Nitro, and Ring of Honor needs to do stuff like that.
Well, and also they have to decide what type of company are they, wrestling company, are they going to be? Are they going to be geared towards the 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds and just say, that's who we are and that's where we're going? Or are you going to do what has made WWE a, you know, a legacy, is where you always are trying to go after the younger generation because they eventually turn into the adults that stay with the product and continue to watch it? Because if you're just going for the alternative wrestling fans, the indie wrestling fans.
It's just like music, man.
It's there's a certain cap on it. There's a certain cap on it. And
it's called a glass ceiling.
Yeah, you're going to limit yourself. Whether or not I enjoy John Cena being pushed down my throat in the last 10 or 12 years, I didn't.
Does he hold the back of your head when he does it? Or?
No, he's gentle.
Okay.
Train wreck style. But I understand why they did it. And like, there's a business side and there's a wrestling fan side. Like, you understand, and you know, and so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm rooting for them, but
I think Ring of Honor, had they done this 3 weeks ago, or maybe a little longer, my timeline might be skewed. But I think the person that should have been hired to run it now with this new money and these new markets is Jim Ross.
Yeah, he would have crushed it. He would absolutely have crushed it.
Because he comes from that Bill Watts era of Southern style, hard-hitting wrestling, understands the character base, and has the best eye for young talent.
I was about
I've
to say,
seen.
He's one of the greatest talent evaluators in the history. I mean, when you hear the list of people that he brought in,
yeah,
that he discovered, is it's unmatched.
Or you try and steal Jerry Briscoe away from WWE, which will never happen.
No. And, I mean, again, though, does a Jim Ross go to that company if they just continue to do the same thing that they're doing?
Jim Ross is a guy that, truthfully, I think works well in business because, from what I've heard, he's very good at spinning things that are his ideas and making you feel like they're your ideas.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why he was able to work with some of the biggest egos in wrestling history for as long as he has over the last four decades.
And still be one of the most respected names in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly don't think, I can't think of one person that's been behind the scenes, on camera, in the office, with the wrestlers that's more respected than him. Because he's done
McMahon.
It all. What's that?
Vince McMahon.
I think if you're successful in the AEU, you love Vince. I think that if Vince fired you and you went elsewhere, you're just like, screw them. But yeah, I mean, he's respected, but I think there's a love towards JR.
Yeah, because Jim Ross was, you know, he was for the boys.
Yeah. So something else, lastly about ROH, I thought was kind of interesting is Christopher Daniels was asked a question about who his Mount Rushmore for Ring of Honor would be. Who would be your Mount Rushmore, your four top Ring of Honor wrestlers in the history of that company? And I'll tell you what his are.
AJ Punk.
You say AJ even though he was like New Japan?
AJ started there, bro.
Yeah, for like, what, a year? And then he went to TNA? But AJ?
But okay. Again, he was a trailblazer, yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. I would say AJ Punk, Jay Lethal, Jay Briscoe.
His was Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, and Nigel McGuinness.
Nigel's a good call, but again, you know, never really attained the success post Ring of Honor.
I mean, you could put Daniels up there. The dude's been there for like freaking, what, 12 years now?
Yeah, but he's got that weird neck and it creeps me out.
He wouldn't look good on Mount Rushmore.
I don't really like Christopher Daniels. I think he is one of the most consistently overrated indie guys of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting take. You know who is the most underrated? Jay Lethal.
I feel like he doesn't get it. He gets his due.
Does he?
Yeah. Here's the thing with Lethal, though, is like nobody considers him underrated because he's turned down the E a bunch of times. Just like the Bucks, nobody's going to call them underrated. Yeah. They had the opportunity to ascend and chose not to.
No, not underrated in the sense that people don't think he's a good worker. I just feel like he isn't put in the same breath with other guys that have been on the top for as long as he has.
There's a good reason for it.
Hmm. Jim Ross is now going to be the new voice for the UK Championship weekly show on WWE. That's his first gig since being rehired with the company. And rumors are that he will also be doing the commentating for the women's tournament that will be starting.
That was actually confirmed.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think he's perfect for that, too. Really put over the women. And then lastly, for the wrestling, the famous documentarian and filmmaker Michael Moore spoke with Variety for an interview, and he was asked about the new president in 2020. He said, Moore said the Democrats should. Democrats run somebody that people love, to which the interviewer noted that people want The Rock to run. Moore replied, run The Rock, run The Rock. What do you want for Commander-in-Chief? I want the fucking Rock. It would scare anybody that would hurt us. Think about how safe we would be if The Rock was president. Not Vin Diesel, The Rock, or Liam Neeson. But Liam Neeson can't run because our Constitution says you have to be born here. So who's the American Liam Neeson that would run? The fucking Rock, because nobody would F with him.
But I feel like he would be a Republican.
Holla. Nah. He came out in that GQ article and said that he's Republican, maybe in for fiscal, but he said he's all about human rights. And he said he didn't vote for either one of those two. Or he didn't support either one of those two. He said that there's too much hate and too much separation happening right now.
I really genuinely think we just give Bill Clinton another shot. Best eight years of my life.
Yeah.
Best 8 years of my life is when that dude was in office.
I think it was best 8 years of like most people's life. Unless you're a Republican, like the country was blowing.
At least for our generation.
Yeah, for our generation, absolutely.
I don't give a fuck that he got a blowjob from a fat girl.
I just don't care.
You know what I mean? How many guys are getting blowjobs from fat girls across the country every day and not having to be judged?
To impeach somebody over that, and yet what is currently happening in our White House is, or what happened.
Let's not dive into politics.
Nah, it's just scary, isn't it?
It is. Actually, I had a gentleman last night because we do Bulls on Parade from Rage Against the Machine in our set, and there's at the beginning of the song when the vocals come in, it's Zach De La Roca saying, "Come with it now," and I changed that to "Impeach him now."
Nice.
And it really angered one of the older gentlemen in the room, and he pulled me aside after the set, and he was like, "I don't appreciate that," and I was like, "Excuse me." He's like,
did you know what he was talking about, though?
No, like, because right off stage, like, I'm still kind of like,
yeah, you're in the zone.
And he's just like, the reference to impeaching Donald Trump. And I was like, oh, fuck President Cheeto, bro. And he just looked at me and he was like, listen, we can't all be snowflakes. And I was like, listen.
Oh, God, this snowflake thing is so stupid.
I'm like, listen, man, look at me. Do I look like some soft, weak-willed motherfucker? I'm covered in tattoos. I've got battle scars that you wouldn't believe, and I will happily take you out front and throw you down the fucking stairs.
You said that to him?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He's just like, you know, you work for the radio station and you shouldn't have an opinion. And I'm like, you know what? Am I wearing a logo right now? No, I'm the dude in the band. I have a voice. I have a microphone. And tell you what, motherfucker, we're in the United States. That means I have the freedom of saying what I want.
And this is freedom of speech.
I didn't go to that because then that gets into an ugly situation. But I was like, listen, man, like if you were offended by it, like you're the only one in the room. Like you're literally the only one in the room that didn't have like a smile or like a little smug little look on your face when I did it. So like understand that like you, despite the fact that you got your way in this election somehow, some way, whether it was rigged, whether it wasn't, you know, whether the Russians were involved, however it went, understand that you're now in the minority. And all that you're going to do by supporting this fucking asshole is create more guys like me. And eventually we will rise up and we will take it back. And he just looked at me and he was like, you're very well spoken and I did not mean to engage you in that manner. And he just stammered and I was like, let me buy you a beer. And he's just like, you want to buy me a beer? And I was like, yeah, man. Like, I got no animosity towards you. I got no animosity towards you. I give you credit for having the balls to come up to an insane looking motherfucker like me.
Yeah. Especially all hot and sweaty after just like being on stage.
I don't sweat anymore, man. I'm only 166 pounds now.
You don't sweat under those lights, though, when you're rocking out?
Not at all.
No? Damn.
That's because I do like 90 minutes of cardio every day, and 30 minutes on stage is nothing compared to 90 minutes on a fucking. But I bought him a beer, I shook his hand, and I think I may have changed his mind a little bit.
It's like, yeah, they're not all snowflakes.
Yeah.
Some of them are like hail. They can be a little hard, a little damage. Fucking idiot. The whole snowflake thing is a bunch of idiots. Is that who you hate this week?
I don't really hate any. I'll tell you who I hate this week. All right, so I live 30 minutes north of Syracuse. Uh-huh. Now, that's everybody, dude. Like,
yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of traffic, man. And then now there's, you know, it's spring in Syracuse, so it's road work season. And these motherfuckers that you see the sign, road work, 2 miles, right lane closed. Okay, I'm a reasonable human being. I'm going to get over now so that I don't have to impede upon anybody else's day in 2 miles. But then you get up to the fucking merge, and there's all these, and it's always some asshole. And it's one of two situations, bro. It's never like a guy in like a 2014 Malibu. It's never like Joe Q Public. No. It's always like some cocksucker in a Mercedes.
Or some
douchebag in some fucking car that I don't think passed inspection.
Yeah.
Like where like the back window is like a garbage bag and it's duct taped on.
Yep.
And they got like four different rims on it. Yep. Like it's one end or the other, and they're always like right there to like try and like power merge in. And I don't give a fuck about my car. I've got an 04 Grand Am that I'm getting rid of in the fall.
Yeah.
So if I happen to wreck it on 81 to prove a point to Mr. Mercedes or the fucking meth head driving the fucking cob together car, I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I've got no qualms whatsoever about driving you into the fucking guardrail because you're a prick. Like, I saw you. You could have merged about a half a mile back into this lane, but you didn't. You decided that your time is more important than mine. Well, I'll tell you what, motherfucker. My car is going to put your car into the fucking guardrail.
Have you done it yet?
No.
Did it come close?
It's come close, yeah.
Because they go super fast, and then they try to cut over.
Some prick in a white Mercedes Friday morning on my way in that tried that shit, and he had to, like, fucking put both feet on the brake pedal to stop before he hit cement wall. And then he tried to do, like, the road rage thing of following me.
Yeah.
And, like, honking at me and, like, trying to, like, figure it out. And then finally he got up next to me on the left and looked over and saw what it was. And he just fucking, he did like 90 to get away from me. He was just like, motherfucker, fuck you, you know what I mean? Like giving me the finger and stuff from like not being able to see me. And then when I finally turned and looked at him, like he
You got to take your glasses off when you do that, though. You're not as intimidating when you wear your sweet black shades.
Yeah, I don't wear them when I drive anyway.
What?
They told me to wait a week so that my eyes adjust to them.
But in the future.
We'll see. Dude, I was wearing women's sunglasses at the time.
Yeah, but you can't really tell about women's. I mean, like, you say they're women's sunglasses, but I'm not seeing. It doesn't look like you're, you know, Jackie Kennedy with some frames up there covering your whole face. I mean, I can't tell.
I want to wear a pair of dark sunglasses. Yeah. I want to be Jackie O-O-O.
Yeah, see? I see you do it. I think you could rock it. You have the right face for it.
What was that a reference to?
I have no idea.
A song called Tire Me by Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, it always comes to Rage. and beat Jim.
BS question of the week. Okay. I feel like
do I have to pee? Because the answer is yes.
Adios. Okay. We'll pee. Last pee break and then we'll finish the show up.
We'll finish it up.
This is the last one.
We'll finish it up. Gonna finish it up. Finish it up.
I'm gonna go play with my spinner.
Is that code for touching your inverted penis?
Can be.
Dirty.
Crap, where the hell did my spinner go? Did you take it?
You took it with you. You had it in your hand when you left.
Oh, there it is.
Did you leave it in the bathroom?
Whee!
Oh, you're such a fag.
So the BS question of the week. A friend of mine, a friend of ours, said that he watched the trailer to the Red Band trailer to Baywatch right before he went to bed. And so he went to bed and he had a dream of The Rock and I. He was at like a Broadway show or a stage production, and The Rock and I were on stage. We were the leads in it together, and that we were constantly flubbing our lines and laughing and having a grand old time together, basically being BFFs. And I told him it was the greatest dream I ever heard. So my question to you is, he said it was very weird. So my question to you is, what is the craziest dream that you've had or that you can remember?
Are you bringing this up because I did a couple of breaks on this week?
No, I did not know this at all.
I've been having some very weird and vivid and lucid dreams lately.
Nope. Just came up with it all on my own. See, we're on the same page.
So earlier last week, I had this weird dream that for a promo for the radio station, they let me drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile around Syracuse.
Nice.
And I got to the first stop, and I had to run in and use the bathroom. And I came out, and somebody had stolen it. So I called the rep, and I was like, somebody stole the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. I know you got like GPS tracking or something in it. Find it. And he's like, actually, that was built in the 80s. We don't really have that technology. We'll come over and give you a replacement vehicle, but you've got to find the original. And they brought me over like one of those little like Barbie things that you give like your five-year-old that they can drive around. It looks like a car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like a little mini version of the hot dog thing.
The big wheels?
No, it had a motor in it.
And a motor, yeah.
This was like a little plastic truck.
Yeah.
And I had to drive around Syracuse looking for the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and I was like using social media like in my dream.
Trying to
like,
find it.
Listen, I know I got like 4,700 friends out there. Like, let me know if you see the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Let me know where you see it and when. Like, and it was like very real.
So like you
and I was like completely
felt like it was happening.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out it was Marty took it.
Oh.
Our host of the Morning Mess
sounds
on 95X.
Yeah.
So that was.
Did he take it as a joke for you?
Yeah,
or
he
did
thought
he
it was funny.
To steal
he thought it was
he
funny.
It.
Yeah, he just thought it was funny.
There you go. So,
but that was very, very, very real.
I hate those dreams when you feel like where it's 100% real, but then the other dreams where you know it's not a real dream, like you know you're dreaming, but you want to stay in the dream.
Yeah.
And so you concentrate too much on it, and then you wake up, you ruin it, and then you try to go back to it, and you can't.
Yeah.
How come you can never go back to a good dream, but you can always go back to a bad dream?
That's how the human mind works, sir.
So what other weird, crazy dream?
I'm trying to think of the other one, because I don't know.
I had two in my day. Two that I can 100% remember. Three, one where I slam dunk a basketball in the game. That was amazing. But
you got those heavy white guy legs. That ain't happening.
One, I know. Sucks. One is, I remember, so in like a lake, a shark, we were down at, like I grew up, my family had a cottage on Lake Ontario, like my grandparents.
Oh, but
so
you were broke there. When you were young. You couldn't
my
afford a
My grandparents had it. Dude, they bought it for like $2,000 in the 60s. So anyway, so there's this public dock that all of us cousins and the kids would go down and jump off of. So I don't know, one night I was dreaming that my sister jumped off and I saw a shark coming. Mind you, this is fresh water. Shark was coming and she was trying to swim fast and like it was all that, do I jump in or don't I jump in? Like, what do I do? And basically, I jumped in but I stayed attached to the ladder, like my other hand was on the ladder and I was reaching out to her to try to pull her,
And as I do that, the shark like chomps half of her body off. That fucking freaked me out, man. Like I woke up in cold sweats.
Is your sister cute?
Yeah.
She looked like you?
I have two sisters. One does. She has my skin color and hair, and the other one looks like she's the milkman's child.
Nice.
Completely different.
Are they both, attached?
Yeah. Yep.
So are you. Are either of them whores?
I'm going to say no, because they're my sisters.
Why did you just wink at me?
They were, yes. Yeah, nice try. Here's the other messed up dream, and I've been debating all week whether or not I should say this. So I had a dream once, and you can't be telling this out. Like this is for the podcast, okay? You can't be bringing this into the own personal life, okay? You can't be saying it.
I make no promises. Friend,
then I'm not going to say it.
You have to.
No, I'm not.
You started, and now all of our tremendous fans.
I'll tell them separately. Just get all up in my DMs, and I'll tell you what it is. No, because you're going to use it against me, man.
Why would I use it against you?
Because that's what you do. That's your M.O. Like, this should be a place where we share
our own. Do you know what M.O. stands for?
Huh?
Do you know what M.O. stands for?
That's your motivation?
Modus operandi. It is Latin.
Yes. For?
Your operational intentions.
There you go. Your motivation of how to screw me.
I don't want to screw you, sir.
I had a dream that I had sex with my mom, but it wasn't my actual mom. It was like my mom in the dream, but it wasn't my real mom.
So much about you.
It was so weird. It was so weird, but it wasn't my mom.
Were you calling her mommy while you were pumping away?
No. No, I don't know. That's I don't lie. Remember it. I don't remember. All I do is remember him like, oh my God, like I'm like the person. It was weird. Like my parents weren't my parents. And it was almost like it was like a stepmom thing, I guess. I don't know.
I think you have an Oedipus complex.
Yes, that's it. No, dude, people have weird dreams all the time, man. Yeah, see, I'm just man true. Enough to come on here and admit it. You talk about losing a wienermobile. Get
that's
deep,
weird
son.
To me.
Get deep. You know you've
I
had
some
messed
I don't sleep for more than
up.
45 minutes at a time, man. I don't have time for real dreams.
You get real dreams. Anyway.
I don't. If we're being completely honest, I sleep in 45-minute increments. I sleep for 45 minutes. I get up. I pee. I go back to bed for 45 minutes. I get up. I pee. That's my night. It lasts about 4.5 hours, and I get about 4 45-minute sessions of sleep. And typically before I go to bed, I sleep for about 45 minutes in my recliner. So I get all told 225 minutes of sleep a night.
Yeah, but with all your concussions and all the stuff you smoke and back in the day, all the stuff you took and drank, come on, man. Everybody's got weird dreams. I did not want to go to sleep after that.
It takes almost 30 minutes to fall into a legitimate REM sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it sucks. I used to love dreaming, especially back in the day when I would like do like hallucinogenics and smoke copious amounts of weed for like fun instead of like pain.
This made me not
dreams
want to dream
great,
again.
You know?
This made me not want to dream again.
Oh,
and
mommy,
it was like,
mommy,
no,
I'm
it wasn't
come.
Any verbal, man. Oh, but it was like so descriptive. Like I can, like, in
can
a
you smell
horror
it?
Movie.
Can you smell it?
No, you can, not that descriptive. But I could, but I can remember like, and it's weird when I look back on it, when I picture the person, it wasn't anybody that even remotely looked like anybody in the family or anybody I even knew. But it was this weird thing with like, I actually think it was like a stepmom thing. It wasn't really like,
do you
but
have
it wasn't
a stepmother?
Huh?
Do you have a stepmother?
I mean, I guess you would call it that. I mean, technically, yeah, but I mean, when you're in your 30s and your dad remarries, it's not really a stepmom.
No, it is.
Is it?
It's new mom.
It's grandma, but I don't know if it's stepmom. But anyway,
Do you find your stepmother attractive?
I'm not getting into that.
I'm just asking. Like, is she an attractive woman?
The dream happened before that.
I feel you, but still, do you find your stepmother attractive?
Dude, how do I answer that? If I say yes, then it looks. If I say
is
no,
is she attractive for an older woman?
I guess.
If you were your dad's age, is this a woman you would find yourself attractive to?
That's my stepmom, dude. I ain't saying that.
No, I'm not.
That's my dad's
in a non-sexual way. Is she like physically attractive?
I guess. people would think, I don't know if she's my cup of tea, but I can see
why. By society standards, is she an attractive older woman?
Yes, I can see my dad.
That's probably why you had a sex dream about it.
See, that's exactly why I wasn't going to say anything, because I'm fucked either way. And I either am a dick to...
Did you finish in the dream?
I can't remember that. I think I did, actually. I can't remember, though. That's some Freudian shit right there, man.
You should probably go see a therapist.
I do. But I actually brought that up one time, and the therapist said that's very common for all men, that all men...
I've never had a weird dream about banging my mom.
You can't remember, dude. And it wasn't my mom. You had to get that through your head. It wasn't my mom.
But you said it was my mom in the dream.
It wasn't my mom in real life.
This is appropriate for Mother's Day.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Ah, man.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, see? It gives a new meaning. Dude, we've all had messed up dreams, dude. You can't control what you have in your dream.
If you have a strong mind and a strong will. Oh, easy, you can.
I bet you've had sex with a dude in a dream. I can honestly say that's never happened to me.
Never. I'm not attracted to dudes. I've had multiple opportunities to have what would be considered threesomes, but I don't call them threesomes because they're not threesomes. When it's multiple dudes and a girl, it's a gangbang.
But you did do that.
Unwillingly, a couple of times. It was
they forced you? They
not forced to, but like kind of like coerced into. When you do a lot of drugs and drinking,
it's fun.
So, hey, man, just don't look at my dick. I won't look at your dick. It'll be fine.
We don't make eye contact.
For the most part, I have a one naked dick per room.
Yeah. I told you my story. That happened to me one time. I walked out. I was like, nope, can't do this. Yeah. Too weird.
And a lot of women think I'm an asshole for saying that two dudes and a girl is not a threesome. It's a gangbang, but it's the truth. Here's
technically a gangbang. The definition of a gangbang is more than three. That's why it's a threesome. Yes, that's the definition.
Well, you mean three dudes. It would have to be three dudes to be considered a gangbang.
Yes.
Yeah, well, whatever. Bullshit. all right. So I'm not going to name names in this because it's a very good friend of mine. Like, he's a top five friend. But we got into, like, a very heated argument because, like, all right. So here's the thing. I am very open-minded. I have no prejudice or ill will towards anybody's sexual preferences, what they do with their own body, or whatever else. But I also am a realist, and I like to fuck with people. So my buddy...
No.
Yeah. So my buddy was like... I don't know how it came up, but like he was like, yo, I was watching porn the other day, and it was weird. Like, I don't know why it turned me on so much, but like... There was a chick with a dick, and she was fucking another girl, and it was just wicked hot.
Not a strap-on.
No, like...
That's hot, actual penis. So it was a she-male.
Yeah. So I coerced him into, was the chick with the dick hot enough that you would... And he said, yes, and I was like, dude, let me explain something to you. That's not a chick with a dick. That's a dude with tits.
Yeah.
Like, get that right out of your mind, because that in no way is a female. Like, that's a dude that got titty implants. That's not.
Well, she could be transitioning too. But again, it was originally
this was me just fucking with my boy.
This, like, is originally a male.
I was trying to elicit a response, more so than make a judgment call on anybody's lifestyle or sexuality. And he just, like, as soon as I said it, you could tell that, like, it finally fucking clicked in his head that, like,
how did it just click then?
Because, like, a lot of times, here's the thing. There's a lot of psychology when it comes to porn and how they, like, put, like, descriptions and whatnot. Because don't think that, like, you know, like, the people that made the porn are uploading it and titling it.
Oh,
they're
no.
not.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no way. There's a psychological thing that happens.
It's like Google AdWords for porn.
Yeah. So, like, the description says, you know, chick with dick. So, like, in your head, it's like, oh, this chick's just got a dick.
Yeah,
it's a chick. It's a chick. She's just got a dick. And in reality, it's a dude with breast implants.
Yeah.
You know, like, or
it's a former dude
that took a bunch of... Still a dude.
Yes.
If you got the dick, you're still a dude. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, yeah, when
I don't
it comes
care
to
which,
sex.
I don't care which bathroom you go to.
Yeah.
I don't care how you identify. That's all on you, and that's your world, and I respect it. But ultimately, until you... chop off the stem, you're still technically a dude as far as biology goes. So it was one of those, and you know how sometimes I don't let things go. So after like 45 minutes, it got to a point where he was like, dude, for real, like, I'm getting to a point where I don't even know why the fuck we're friends. And I was like, well, we're friends because, like, I paid for your band to record the album. Like, I lent you the money to put the record out. I book your shows. Like, you eat dinner with me and my wife at my house sometimes. Like, we hang out. Like, that's why we're friends. And he's like, bro, just fucking, I made a mistake, okay? I made a mistake. And I let him off the hook. But, like, I thought
have
it was
have you ever brought
hilarious.
That up to him again?
Oh, dude, this happened, like, 9 days ago.
Oh, this just recently happened.
It was, like, last Friday night.
Yeah, I've never been able to watch a porn with when the girl has the penis or the guy who has boobs, however you want to look at it. Like, it's just, obviously you've seen it, or like, you know, when you kind of, you put the video up at the top and it kind of gets
through.
Here's
the thing, I can deal with the tranny banging a girl, because all it really is free extra tits.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, sometimes you accidentally click on something where it's like the dude with boobs banging a dude,
yeah.
And you don't know right away, and you're like 30 seconds in and you're like, I'm done watching porn for today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And again, like, don't take that as me being anti-gay. I'm just not into that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched one.
Like,
couple.
Here's a weird thing, and I'll admit this right here, right now, live on the podcast. And I know that this flies in the face of, like, dudes in porn. I don't give a fuck about lesbian porn.
I really don't care for it either. It's kind of boring.
I love going downtown. You know what I mean? I'm a very cunning linguist, and I enjoy that. But it doesn't do it for me to watch two girls do it.
No, the only time I really like it is when they're scissoring.
See, I don't even care about that.
That totally doesn't it for me. But other than that, no, yeah, exactly. I know dudes that just, like, straight up just love the lesbian porn. I'm like,
I don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're going. It's just the same thing where I don't like it when I see a girl going down on a guy for 10 minutes and that's all it is.
Well, it's just because you're envious.
No, I'm saying I don't like that. Like,
right,
I can't.
Because it's not you with the dick in your mouth.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You always got to bring it back to me being gay, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit? I hate you so much.
It's not so much that I'm accusing you of being gay. I just
think bisexual?
I just think you have a weird thing for penises in your mouth.
Why? Because I like bananas and cucumbers?
Oh, you got those big DSLs.
I do got big lips. They're soft too, baby. They're soft. The ladies love it.
You know what
and
DSLs
maybe,
are?
And maybe, who knows with you? What?
Dick sucking lips.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right.
Everything has got to go penis with you, dude. You're such a jerk.
Aw, well, we did lose a listener over it.
Nope, I don't care. Yeah, if I like sucking penis, then I like sucking penis.
I'm glad you can finally admit it. Happy Mother's Day, America.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right, so before we move on, I want to step away from the weird sex and porn talk for a second, get back to the professional wrestling, and propose something to you for next week that I think could be fun to be like a little project.
Okay.
All right, so we're in a day and age where the indies are kind of drying up, or they're very shindy and shitty. We now live in a world where Ring of Honor and Impact are, I would say, on equal footing.
Oh, yeah.
As far as being a very distant number two to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is going to be much like our draft thing. But here's the thing. You're starting an indie company.
Okay.
And we're not going to talk about any names right now. We're not going to talk about this at all during the week.
Just
when
writing
we
it down so I remember what the rules are.
All right. The goal is to come up with a situation where you sign 12 guys that are currently not under contract to anybody else right now.
Goal to sign 12 guys that are under.
And these are the guys that you're going to go with as your main basis for your new independent wrestling company.
So when you say not under contract, somebody like a Cody Rhodes who's like,
I was going to bring that up. Cody is off the table because his contract status is a little weird. So if you want him, you can have him. Just because there's no...
That's what I'm saying. He's not like Cody, specifically WWE or TNA.
He is the one guy I will bring up because I'm going to take him too. He's probably the biggest name out there on the indie. So let's just both... We're both going to take Cody, I assume. But you need to come up with 12 guys that are currently not under contract. They can be former WWE, former TNA, former Ring of Honor, former New Japan. They could be indie guys that you really like. But this is, I want to see where your head goes.
I don't even know if I know 12 dudes that are not under contract.
It's easy, dude. I've actually been thinking about it for a while. Because I was going to propose this to you for a while, just to see where it went. But there are. I will say right now that there are probably about 30 names that you know out on the internet. If you do your research, you'll find 12 of them.
What about somebody like Alberto El Patron?
Under contract to TNA,
but he's Impact. Also in another wrestling place. Like,
but he's multiple. Under contract to Impact, okay. So he doesn't count. So if you go to anybody's page,
the wrestling page,
and they're on somebody's roster, you can't have them.
Okay.
And it includes Lucha.
Okay.
It does include AAA. Does include New Japan.
Include them?
It does, yeah. Okay. And I'm not going to hold tight and fast to like the Japanese indies. I'm not going to hold tight and fast to like NWA in America.
Or those like guys are, so I can do PWG.
Yeah.
Because that's not.
But as long as it's not a guy that works for Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? Like you can't take the Young Bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. 12. So that'll be.
And this isn't a contest. We're not placing a bet. I just want to see where your mind goes.
Mine goes. God.
And for all of you out there that are listening, all 16 of you, if you want to participate as well, go ahead and send us who your 12 guys would be. Tell them the email.
Yeah, you can email us at thebshowawrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thebshowawrestlingpodcast@gmail. Or you can DM via Twitter. Yeah. Or Facebook and send us yours. Please just do so I can get some ideas.
Get them to us by Friday at midnight. Friday the 19th at midnight, because we're going to be recording next Saturday the 20th. And we'd like to have them by then.
Yep. You can follow us on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. You can follow us on Facebook and like our page at the B-Show Wrestling Podcast. I already gave you the email. Subscribe, download, review, follow us on all social media. And again, yeah, send us your top 12 indie guys.
The 12 guys that you would build your personal wrestling company around that are not currently under contract. We'll read the two best in addition to our two on the podcast.
Give you a
next
little
week.
Shout out. I know who my number one female is going to be. Sunny.
Good for you, man.
She's not under contract, right?
No.
Vivid Video doesn't count, right? Vivid Video?
She's under house arrest. So
is she really?
Yeah, she really is. Stupid cunt.
Jesus. All right. Subscribe, download, review our podcast. Please listen, give us some feedback. Thank you for always being there. We love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. And we'll talk to you next week.
Maybe. No, we'll definitely. We'll be back Saturday. Next Saturday, May 20th. It's the night Blood Sun Circle releases their new album. I'm pretty stoked. Yeah. Dig it. See you, bye.
Brother.